Speak to this morning in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's gospel reading is such a beautiful story, isn't it? One can and one should just sit with the story, reflecting on the powerful image and contrasting images with which we are presented. Now, although the story is told in all four Gospels, which is quite an uncommon thing indeed, each of the Gospels tell the story in a different way. Sometimes the person doing the anointing is Mary of Magdala, sometimes it's Mary of Bethany, and sometimes she doesn't have a name, she's unnamed. Sometimes, according to one of the Gospels, she anoints Jesus' head. According to another, she anoints his feet. But however the story is told, there's a common theme emerging, and that is the contrasting portrayals of Mary and Judas. As John tells the story, it is 6 days before the Passover, and Jesus has come to Bethany, just a small little town just outside of Jerusalem. We are told that at this point in the narrative, the religious leaders are absolutely seething with hatred for Jesus. They are plotting to kill him. They plan not only to kill Jesus, but they also want to kill Lazarus because many are coming to believe in Jesus because of Lazarus's being raised from the dead. And so Jesus and his disciples are in the house. They're celebrating a Sabbath meal, and suddenly Mary enters. She takes a pound of very expensive perfume made from genuine pure nard. And as John tells it, Mary goes to Jesus at the table, she pours the perfume on his feet, and then she wipes his feet with her hair. And John tells us that after Mary had anointed Jesus, the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. Now, I have some 100% pure nard perfume with me today. And I'm going to pass it around. It's got a little roller head on the top. And I invite you, if you want to, rub some of this perfume onto your hand, so you can smell the perfume that would have filled that house.
So if you want to just unscrew the lid, have some perfume in there. Just keep passing it back.
The one thing you'll notice is just what a powerful scent it is. It's a beautiful smelling perfume. Now, I'm hoping that as you smell your hands for the rest of the day, it'll keep bringing your mind back to this beautiful story that we have in our gospel for today. Can you smell it? It's not working. It's not a dab thing, it's a ball that rolls. So just keep rubbing it. Good. You know, the sense of smell is a powerful trigger for memories, isn't it? Whenever I smell Old Spice aftershave, I always think of my late father, because that's what he wore. And so I still have a bottle of Old Spice in my bathroom, and every now and then I use it, and it just brings back memories. When I smell incense in church, it always brings back memories of me as a child, 8 years old, being a boat boy, serving at midnight mass. I'm sure for each of you, there are memories that will come to mind when you smell a particular scent. And I wonder if the scent of perfume didn't trigger the memories of the early disciples. In the years that followed, every time they would smell that perfume, their thoughts would turn back to the story that we have today, hence it appearing in all four Gospels. Now, as I said, however the story is told, what is very clear is the contrasting responses of Jesus to Mary, of Mary and of Judas. On the one hand, we have this extravagant action motivated by love. And on the other hand, we have the selfish intentions of Judas. Now, if being a follower of Jesus is about choosing a path to walk on, then we are being presented today, in story form, two paths to choose from. Perhaps this is another reason why this event was so well remembered by the early Christian community, because it presents us with essentially two ways of being. There is this extravagant, open-handed generosity of Mary, and there is this closed-fisted attitude of Judas. A contrast between true and false discipleship, between true and false love. And we are, as always, faced with a choice: to be like Mary or to be like Judas. Mary gives everything of herself to Jesus. The gift that she offers him is exceedingly extravagant. She pours out a pound of very expensive, exceedingly expensive perfume, and she wipes his feet with her hair. Now, here it's worth noting that scholars, they can't quite agree about whether the detail concerning Mary's hair lends to an erotic air to the event. But at the very least, Mary's hair imbues the act with profound intimacy, if nothing else, calling attention to this tactile element of the anointing. If the fragrance of her perfume fills the house, the gentle touch of her hair fills Jesus' senses. It's an expression of deep love. It raised the eyebrows of those who were observing, but it also raises the voice of objection by Judas. For Judas, she's acting rashly. She's acting recklessly. And he angrily accuses Mary of wasting perfume that could have been sold on the market. And we are told it has the equal value of about 1 year's salary. Now, on the surface, that rationale seems innocent, even righteous. The perfume could have been sold. The money could have been given to the poor. But John's gospel tells us that Judas didn't care about the poor, and that he was a common thief, that he would steal from the common purse, that he would steal from money that was aimed and to be given, donated to the poor. And this description John gives us of Judas highlights even more so Mary's extravagance. And at this point, we are told that Jesus speaks up, no doubt looking around the room and seeing the raised eyebrows, this voice of objection. "Leave her alone," he says. "She bought the ointment so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, But you do not always have me, Jesus said. You will always have the poor with you. That's a quotation from Deuteronomy chapter 15. It says, if there is any among you who is poor, a member of your community in any of your towns within the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards your needy neighbor. You should rather open your hand, willingly lending enough to meet their needs, whatever it may be. Since you will always have the poor with you, I therefore command you, open your hand to your brothers and sisters, to the needy and the poor in your land. There are many other contrasts in the story. Just to mention a few, you have the smell of this perfume versus the stench of the tomb of Lazarus just the day, the chapter before. We have Mary not anointing Jesus' head as in the anointing of a king, but she anoints his feet. A striking reversal, head to feet. Then there is the contrast between this beautiful scent and the ugly crucifixion that lies just ahead. And we would also be remiss if we didn't mention what is at the heart of the story, the contrast by the woman following Jesus, who proved to be more discerning, more devout than the male disciples. Mary perceptively and kindly anoints Jesus for burial. And Judas, the one who will betray him, which will lead to his death, ignorantly and unkindly attempts to put her to shame. So let's just conclude by considering this. What if these contrasts are not two opposite lives or people? But what if they are two aspects of ourselves, our own lives? What if they are two ways in which we live and we relate to others? What if we hold a little bit of Mary and a little bit of Judas within ourselves? What if these are images of ourselves, images of our charitable self, who sometimes gives to the poor and the needy, and image of our economic self, looking to see what we can get out of this? I think the good news of the gospel this week is that God calls us towards a personal and communal vision of a generous society, a generous way of being, of structuring our world and our rules in such a wise way that all have enough. A world that is just filled with extravagant acts of love one to another. That's what God calls us to. Thinking and imagining such a world. Smell your hand. It's a beautiful scent, isn't it? The good news is that God blesses each of us, women and men alike, with wisdom and discernment to choose this path. We have it within ourselves to make this world just like that. We have it within ourselves to open our hands in ways that honor each other, in ways that love each other. We also have it within our ways, the ways of Judas. And so, my friends, as we stand on the verge of Holy Week, with the house filled with the fragrance of perfume, the hosannas will come, the lamentations will follow, but we have the promise of Easter morning, that radiant new world that is dawning even now, where crying and pain and poverty will be no more. That's what beckons us on the other side of the tomb. The Lord be with you.